from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, that's us. I'm Kyle, that's James, hanging out with you until noon. D'Lo and KC coming up next. They're rocking with you from noon to four.
All right.
Right here on ESPN 1320. I want to thank everybody for listening, whether you're on the free Odyssey app, whether you're listening on the radio, or whether you're watching on ESPN 1320 TV. That's at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you are watching, go ahead and hit that thumbs up for us. We would appreciate the heck out of that. And also please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That would also be greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. So if you're there, hit that little subscribe, hit that little notification bell. You'll get a notification whenever we go live, which we do every day, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Hell yeah. Actually, we're live at like 9:58.
Yeah, we go live a little early.
Get a little pregame.
And it's nice because the chatty house, there's so many people already in there when we jump on.
Oh, it's cracking in there.
Oh, yeah, it always is. So it's a nice little community. So if you're looking for a nice little sports talk community and want to go hang out with the good people in the chatty house, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I just hang out in the chat. Literally, when I didn't have a job and I did my hits with D'Lo and KC still,
mm-hmm.
I just jump in the chatty house sometimes.
Okay. Just hang out.
Yeah. Just vibe.
All right.
It's a good time in there.
I like it. Hey, Kyle, I was, there's some, Davion Mitchell has played the last couple of games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people are like, well, what happened there? Did Keon Ellis just kind of like burn out or, you know, why is Davion playing now? And I think some of it's matchup based over the last couple of games, especially with Atlanta. I think that he's had a couple of solid games, like one really good game, probably, and even the good game that I would say is the Atlanta game where I thought he was super impactful.
Mm-hmm.
The next game against Memphis, you know, he was 4-for-4 from the field and looked more confident, 8 points, four assists, like settling in a little bit. It was a plus 11, but everybody on the team was like a plus something because they won by 32.
Right.
So, but then we get to like the next game and he's still part of the rotation. So the last three games, 13, 14, 14 and a half minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people are like, well, why are they doing this now? And I would say there's a good chance it's just to make sure that that teams know that he's healthy and, you know, that we could see the Kings go back to Keon Ellis at any time. We could see them give Colby Jones a shot to take on that role of sort of backup whatever and go out there and play some minutes. So for right now, I think it's going to be Davion, mm-hmm. at least until the trade deadline, because I think there is value in showing teams what he can do. And if you can get him in the right mode, maybe he helps you, but also maybe it shows that he's someone that can help another team as well.
It's somebody who can play next to a score first, no defense type of guard, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
like in Washington.
Yeah.
Or they might be building around a young score first, no defense guard, and they need a young defensive-minded guard to put next to him. I don't know.
or maybe
spitballing,
or maybe someone like Atlanta, which you just happen to play.
Hmm.
Maybe he would look like different next to a guy like Trae Young.
Hmm.
I mean, that would be a pretty small backcourt, but at the same time, you can see that, like, look, this is still a player that I think has plenty of upside, and I don't think that he can maximize his upside in Sacramento. And that's not because he doesn't work hard. It's just like a different style of basketball player. He's still a really, really good defender, and I think he's a much better shooter than he's been able to show this year. And I just think a lot of that is he hasn't been able to get enough reps and enough, like, I don't know, the flow of the game doesn't help him when he is in the game. Like, he needs to settle in and play like a 7-minute stretch, just him and the second unit, and see if he can develop from there.
Sadiq Bey for Davion Mitchell, I think, works straight across. Your thoughts? I'm just playing around on the trade machine now.
No, we're not doing trade machine stuff. No,
why? Why not?
Yeah, because it's Atlanta's not doing that.
Why?
Because they gave up 5 second-round picks for him.
But it works in the trade machine.
That's right. Because you have to have two teams that are on the same page about what they're looking for. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't know if DeJounte Murray is the dude. You just brought up the Hawks, which is why that's clanging around my head now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd look up and down the Hawks roster and, okay, Clint Capella, I get it. I get the fit, but how much of a role does he have? And then I see Sadiq Bey, and it's like, mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like, again, there are players all around the league that would look good in a Sacramento Kings uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a pretty structured situation. I'd even say, like, look, if you want to show that Kevin Huerter or help Kevin Huerter find his game, whether it's for you or for someone else, the best way to do that is probably putting him on the bench where he's going to get more shots.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever seen a player in any sport on any team that I have followed that needs a change of scenery more than Kevin Huerter needs one.
Oh, I don't know. Really?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, exaggerating with that, but Kevin Huerter badly needs a change of scenery.
Yeah, I mean, I could say the same thing about Jordan Poole last year. Jordan Poole got punched out, and then his response was to not be a good basketball player, and mm-hmm. like a change of scenery was very necessary for him.
Yeah, and when you watch Kevin Huerter, and it's just, he's not, it feels like everything is very robotic, feels like it's very methodical, like just, I don't know if he's, I don't want to say he's over, he's, it's not that he's trying too hard, but it feels like when he's shooting it, you can tell it's like, I need to make this.
Oh, he's...
this needs to go in. He's pressing. Pressing is the word I was looking for.
He's in his own head.
So big bad. Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's in his own head.
And I just
without
don't know,
any question.
And I just don't know with Sacramento. I mean, maybe the shots start falling and everything's magical again. I just don't know with Sacramento how that happens.
I don't know. So, like, the dynamic of this team is very different behind the scenes. So, you know, you got guys like Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray that are close. Guys like Trey Lyles. Like, I think that there is a way to pull him through this,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure, like, when you make the change to go to a defensive-minded shooting guard over Kevin Huerter, mm-hmm. and again, I asked Mike Brown about this yesterday in pregame. Mike Brown brought up that it wasn't so much that De'Aaron Fox is shooting and making threes, it's that De'Aaron Fox has become such a big-time scorer that you kind of need, or you can look at a different type of player in the backcourt next to him. And that's why Chris Duarte is getting this opportunity. It's one of the reasons. And so, like, again, I think, you know, we talked about this, like the defensive minded guy that the Hawks need next to Trae Young. Well,
it was supposed to be DeJounte Murray.
Yeah. No, but the Kings need it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's okay. I think even the fact that Duarte is a little raw offensively and in some cases limited offensively is a good thing. Like, he's, as long as he buys into the role and plays to his strengths, mm-hmm. you don't need him doing too much offensively.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he averages 8 to 10 points a game, I think the Kings might be a better team than if you had, you know, another guy there averaging 13 or 14.
The important thing for me with Duarte specifically, and we can dig into this. I know you wanted to talk about him in the Doug Christie comp, which I want to hear about.
Yeah.
But the important thing for me with Duarte is not what his PPG says. I don't care what his points per game is. Maybe it's 14, maybe it's 8, maybe it's 17. I don't know. I don't know. But it is like the reason that Davion Mitchell wasn't on the floor in game 7 was because it allowed the Warriors to play 5-on-4 on defense.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't guard him because he wasn't enough of a threat. If Chris Duarte is just enough of a threat in the corner that a team can't just leave him alone and they actually have to guard all 5 players, and if he is going to thrive in that role and grab some rebounds and have a couple of putbacks and play good defense, I don't care how many points per game he's scoring. Like that just, and maybe it does fall in the 8 to 10 range, and some nights he'll have 20 and other nights he'll have 2. But if he can consistently do the dirty work, make the right passes, play with pace and decisiveness,
mm-hmm.
and be a good defender, which is what he was. That was what he was coming out of Oregon.
Yeah.
It's like, man, this guy can shoot the 3 and defend on the perimeter. If he can do those things, that and just be a player that teams have to account for on offense, that's I think what the Kings need next to De'Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, what you need is for him to be physical, which he is.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes overly so.
Yeah, the fact that, but also the fact that he's 6'6", that he's a good rebounder. I mean, this is a guy that averaged as a rookie 4.1 rebounds per game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's good for a shooting guard. That's good. You'll take it.
Yeah.
Right? So he doesn't mind mixing it up, going into the trees. He's also a great back cutter. Like, there are things that he does that are just, it fits what the Kings are doing. But also, there will be a game where he needs to score 20. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got that in his bag. And there are also games where, like, look, you need to take some of the pressure off De'Aaron Fox. We need you to defend the toughest guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I got you. And that's where, like, the comp with Doug Christie comes in. In all reality, it's, you know, De'Aaron Fox is a much better player than Mike Bibby was.
Yes.
Much better player.
Yes. No disrespect to Mike Bibby.
No, but that doesn't change the fact that in order to maximize Bibby, you had to have a player like Doug who would do all of these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really think that Chris Duarte can grow into a role. And, you know, we can talk about this. You know, we got to hit a break, but we can talk about this after the break.
I was ready to blow through the break, but I'm glad that you're keeping an eye on the clock. All right. I was dialed into your Doug Christie thing.
All right.
The Doug Christie, Chris Duarte comp. More on that coming up next on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Feels like there's some changes on the horizon for the Kings as we break down their 111-104 loss to the Hornets last night. Not necessarily breaking the game down, but just kind of trying to look big picture at what last night's loss meant for Sacramento, because it appears to me, and I think to a lot of people who watched that game last night, that hey, this particular roster, as currently constructed, is just not. It feels like it's hitting a ceiling, like it's capping out a little bit.
Okay.
And one of the changes they've already made, and whether they do or don't make a trade, TBD. I think they will. Who that's for, couldn't tell you. We have some ideas. We have some thoughts. But one of the changes they've already made is inserting Chris Duarte into the starting lineup over Kevin Huerter.
Yes.
And this is something that started back in the preseason, right? Chris Duarte went into the starting lineup. He was actually going to start again, but then got hurt. Kevin Huerter goes back into the starting lineup, and that's just kind of where he was up until a couple nights ago. And Mike Brown said before the year that this team needs to get to a new level defensively. They're not going to be 25th? In defensive rating last year?
Yeah. So,
25th, 23rd?
Yeah, 24th, 25th.
Not going to be that spot in defensive rating again.
Yep.
They're going to get better. And when you look at the Kings lineup and you look at their roster top to bottom, and somebody in the chatty house asked this, why not Harrison Barnes? Because it's not going to be Domas, it's not going to be De'Aaron Fox, it's not going to be Keegan Murray. They're in the starting lineup, that's the case. That's always going to be the case. So you have Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes. Well, I think the reason that Kevin Herter gets circled and not Harrison Barnes is A, because Barnes is a little bit better defender, but B, the Kings have more options to replace Kevin Herter than they do Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
They don't have a lot of players that can play that. Trey Lyles, like, okay, but that's it.
Yeah. I think what's missing, what people miss about Harrison Barnes, and like, look, people think that I'm just like the biggest Harrison Barnes supporter ever.
It's a little frustrating, but go on.
But the problem that you have is that Harrison Barnes is a 3-4,
mm-hmm.
right? He can play either position. Trey Lyles, Sasha Vezenkov, they are fours, and in Trey Lyles' case, he's a 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, switchability, having two guys who can be a 3 or a 4 is the modern NBA. And mm-hmm. while I do believe that you can find a better player than Harrison Barnes, you don't have a better player than Harrison Barnes today. And I know that some people say, well, Trey Lyles. Okay, but the problem is that we keep seeing Keegan Murray get switched onto twos and onto ones. Like, that's how the Kings are playing this, right? They're using him to defend mm-hmm. all kinds of people. Well, that the switchability factor matters. That means mm-hmm. that Trey Lyles now has to defend threes and sometimes twos. They're like, it's a switching thing that, yep. that happens all the time. Like, I'm not saying Trey can't do it, but I'm saying that Harrison Barnes is better at it. And does Harrison Barnes get beat sometimes? Sure he does.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so do, I mean, the defensive player of the year last year was Jaren Jackson Jr. And Domantas Sabonis just took him to the woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's about matchups. Sometimes it's about the type of player you're playing against. But sure. it doesn't mean Harrison Barnes is a bad player.
No, and that doesn't mean that the Kings can't upgrade at that spot either. They just don't right now have that player on their roster.
It's not there. That's all I'm saying.
If they go get Kyle Kuzma, then sure.
Yeah.
But right now, that player is not there. However, when you remove Kevin Herter, now you have Keon Ellis is an option, Davion Mitchell is an option, Chris Duarte is an option. They have all these different players that they can throw into that spot and say, hey, let's see how this works. And right now it's Duarte. And this is why they went and got Chris Duarte. Because yes. they wanted to get better defensively, and that is what he is very good at.
Yeah.
And their defensive rating is not particularly improving.
It is.
It's
they jumped from 21 to 16 yesterday. Remember we said they're like 15.3 and there's a bunch of teams at 15. Like yeah. they were able to take a jump to number 16.
Look at
in the
that.
League. All is right
it's
in
working.
The world.
It's
all
working.
Is right in the world.
Congratulations it's to Mike Brown. Just got the Midas touch. He's pushing all the right buttons.
He just the world's best cup of coffee. He just made it the world's best cup of coffee. Congratulations. Yeah.
So like, when's the parade?
So look, I have people kick back on this idea all the time. Like, I don't know why there are people that don't, like, you can disagree with me, but if you can't see the comparison between Bobby Jackson and Malik Monk, I don't know. And I think the memory of what Bobby Jackson was or the memory of what Doug Christie was sometimes outweighs who they actually were on the court. And if you go back, like, Chris Duarte, in all reality, could be equal to or better than the offensive player that Doug Christie was in Sacramento. Like, when he was with Toronto, sure, 15, 16 points per game. When mm-hmm. he was in Sacramento, that's not what he did. He averaged 12.4, 12.3, 12 points per game. His final year, well, no, he averaged 9.4 and 10. Like, Doug Christie was the fifth option on the offensive side. But he also was a good assist man. He was an outstanding defender. He was a 2.3 steals per game guy. Like, there are certain things that he did. And this Kings team needs a glue guy. And that's what Doug was. He was the glue that yep. kept everything together.
Yep.
Like, you had your leader was Vlade. Your best player was Chris Webber. Your, like, best shooter was Peja Stojakovic. But your glue guy, the guy who held everything together, the guy that didn't mind diving on the floor, didn't mind punching Rick Fox in the face, didn't mind defending Kobe Bryant, that was Doug Christie, and that is where I think Chris Duarte can fit in. Now, he's got a long way to go before I truly say he's that type of player.
Sure.
But that's the type of, like, player he's molded after. he needs to show me that his basketball IQ is where Doug's eventually got to, and that he can think the game the way that Doug did, because that's a big deal.
Well, yeah, and I think, I mean, the fact that Doug had, 10 years in the league, 9 years in the league before he got to Sacramento?
Yes.
It makes the learning curve a little bit different.
Yeah, and sure. Even if you look at Doug as a 26-year-old, you know, he averaged 14.5 in Toronto. You know, again, the shooting numbers weren't great. His overall field goal percentage wasn't great. I mean, he started 50 games during the lockout season. He shot 38.8% from the field and 30% from three. Like, I think the image of Doug is a little bit, first of all, he's an incredible dude and he was on the broadcast and, you know, he's, for a lot of people, he's their favorite king. Mm-hmm. But also, like, his intensity on the court, that's what we're talking about. His willingness to step up and defend the toughest guy on the opposing team, that's what we're talking about. And I think it's great. Mike Brown talked about it last night, that Chris Duarte has been working with Dip, who's one of their development guys.
Dip.
I don't know his full name, but that's what they call him. And
how you know he's a real one.
I actually believe that's his first name. But
okay.
Either way, he's been working with him, Leandro Barbosa, and Doug Christie on defending without fouling, on stopping with the grabbing and getting his hands up, leading with his chest, all this stuff. And we're seeing the improvement. Mm-hmm. So it shows me that Chris Duarte has an acumen for learning and for taking another step. So I'm okay with, I don't mind the move. Early in the season, when De'Aaron Fox wasn't a 30 per game guy, I was I think you still need Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
But this team, a team grows organically. It becomes what they are. And right now, this team needs somebody that can stop somebody from going to the basket and getting Domantas Sabonis in foul trouble.
Just to be clear, in case this isn't, because I know people jump in halfway or maybe they're half listening.
Yeah.
You're not saying that Chris Duarte is Doug Christie right now.
No.
It is, can he grow into over the next, ideally few months, but over the next, maybe season or two, can he grow into that?
Yeah, can
and
he
become
be
that type of player?
That type of player.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, some of the, Chris Duarte still needs to prove he can stay on the court.
1,000%.
Like he does.
He needs to prove that he can do what he did last night for a 10-game stretch.
Or 40 more games.
Right.
Like, he needs to show that, and he doesn't have
a
lot
to prove still.
12-7-4,
right.
But those are like 12-4-3 or 10-4-3. If he can do that and play an elite defense and shoot 34-36% from three, okay, I'm in.
Yep.
Because you can cover any of his deficiencies with the rest of that roster.
Right. Right, he just can't be a liability offensively. Make teams guard him. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and I think he will. I mean, this is a guy that, as a rookie, averaged 14 points a game or whatever, was 13.6.
Yeah, he can shoot it too. Shot it in college. He shot it as a rookie. He shot it really well. So
yeah,
I like the idea, and I certainly see what Mike Brown was doing or what the Kings were doing when they signed him, and I see what Mike Brown's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I like it. I like that he's not just going, hey, we're running it back. Hey, this is the best offense in the league last year. Hey, did you see that stat real quick? Did you see that stat that last year's Kings set a record for the best offensive rating of all time? Offensive rating, points scored per 100 possessions. They are now sixth highest ever, and like 8 of the 12 or 10 of the 12 highest offensive ratings of all time are this year.
Okay, so
that is nuts.
18.6 was the number last year.
118.6.
The Pacers are at 122.2. The Celtics are at 120.9. The Bucks are at 120.7. The 76ers at 120.4. The Thunder at 119.2. And the Atlanta Hawks are at 119.1. The Kings would be seventh now. Seventh. Their number last year, which was the highest of all time, would be seventh. The game is changing. And I'm telling you, man, teams just aren't playing defense
they
at all. Nobody's playing defense.
The league's got to do something. They got to make it bring back hand checking or something. I don't know. You got to do something, though.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't know.
I love offense. I love points. I'm here for it. But, come on.
Come on now.
It's not just pace and threes.
The best team in the league's defensive rating is the Minnesota Timberwolves at 108.2. That's a lot.
That's so many points.
121.2 is worse.
They're giving up like 108 a night, basically.
Yeah.
And they're the best defense in the league.
Yeah. That's and they're the only team that's held a lot of teams under 100. I think it's like 9 times or something.
Yep.
No one else is. Everyone else is like 2. God. We've done it twice. Yeah.
Man. All right. Kings Magic tonight. The dreaded back-to-back for Sacramento.
Yeesh.
The Magic also on a back-to-back, though. Will that help? We'll get into keys to a Kings victory. We'll have the handoff. One of D'Lo or Casey will be in here to chat with us about their thoughts on last night's game and everything we kind of been talking about today. That's coming up next. What?
We have a Jiffy Lube player of the game to give away.
Thank you.
$100 gift certificate.
To Jiffy Lube.
To Jiffy Lube, don't you know?
ESPN1320.com. There's a Jiffy Lube logo. I meant to do this. Now I got all wrapped up. ESPN1320.com, Jiffy Lube logo, our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game.
Oh, we're doing it now?
Doing it right now.
Okay, do it.
Duarte.
Do it.
Chris Duarte.
The password is Duarte.
D-U-A-R-T-E. Enter that code word at ESPN1320.com. Click that Jiffy Lube logo, and you will be entered to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. That's our sponsor. And here are some more sponsors on ESPN1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good. And some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. One of those two guys will be in to chat with us for the handoff. Talk Kings Magic tonight. You know, I don't know if I believe De'Aaron Fox, by the way.
Oh?
So I think I kind of here. Let's hear from De'Aaron Fox. Then I'll give my thoughts as a person who watches. He only plays. I watch. So like, I mean, who are you really gonna like believe?
Okay.
Here's what De'Aaron Fox said last night about the Kings' loss to the Hornets and moving on with the back to back.
I mean, those are usually the good things about back to backs. Whenever you don't play well in that first game, like you said, you have to have a short term memory because you have another game tomorrow. So, like I said, we want to, obviously, tomorrow we'll watch film on some of this, but we have to prepare for the next game. So, get what we get out of this game, whatever our teaching moments are, and move on to the next one because Orlando's coming in here. They've played well this year, and we have to be ready or else it can look like the rest of our back-to-backs have this year.
Oh, that faded out weird. Okay, anyways. He basically said they have to prepare for, if you missed it, he said they have to prepare for Orlando and play hard because if they don't, if they keep dwelling on the Hornets loss, then their game against the Magic is going to look like the rest of their back-to-backs this year. He also said earlier in his press conference that the second he walks out of that building, he's forgetting the Hornets game. And I get that from a standpoint of, like, De'Aaron Fox is not worried that Domantas Sabonis is going to turn it over 11 times against the Magic. Like, that's just not a, that's not a thing that he is concerned about. He's not worried that all of a sudden in fourth quarters he's going to start dribbling it off his foot all the time. Like, that's not, but I think there's, it's worth, and he said it there, they're going to watch tape, they're going to learn from last night's game. But then, yeah, you have to turn around and you have to get up to play Orlando. You can't be sitting there sulking as you take the court tonight. So maybe ultimately, though, maybe last night's loss was actually helpful for them. And again, I'm not like saying it was good, but with the whole back-to-back thing, because the Kings are 0-4 in back-to-backs. Maybe getting smoked last night is like a little bit of a, okay, hey, let's lock in for this game tonight.
You would hope so.
I'm grasping at straws here. I'm trying, guys.
You would hope so, but at the same time, like, they have to figure out what it is on the second night of a back-to-back that doesn't mesh. Like, they are not bringing the same intensity, and like, the back-to-backs are some of the worst, like, defensive rated games in the history. Like, they are so bad in those games on the second night of a back-to-back mm-hmm. that it's not even like a competition. They just aren't competitive at all. So, yeah, they got to figure it out. This is a good way to test that theory.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe De'Aaron Fox when he says that once, you know, he goes home, he probably thinks about it for a few minutes. He probably goes over the game film, like, how do we learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
But then he's got, as a guy who's averaging 30 points a game and who has to bring a certain level of intensity and a certain scoring punch, he's got to just forget and move on, because what we've seen this season is, you know, 13 games over 30 points. He's got three games under 20. Like, the team, he has to show up the next day and be excellent, mm-hmm. or the Kings can't move forward. And so, again, like, some of the worst games he's had this year, it's those second night of a back-to-backs where he scored 14 twice.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, like, he is the guy who has to be a goldfish on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to just, like, forget what just happened and move forward.
Let's talk about that in a second. I want to read you a couple of quick numbers.
Yep.
And then we'll get to our Kings keys to victory. Okay. Just make an intro for that as well.
Can I add something really quick?
Please.
Really quickly. The Sacramento Kings have picked up another nationally televised game. Oh. Friday, January 12th. They will play the Philadelphia 76ers on ESPN. That game has also been moved back to 7:30 local time, which I believe at Philadelphia.
So 4:30
here. But they picked up, I believe, is that their 24th nationally televised game? I think so.
You will not be slept on no more, brother.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They got to bring it, though, man.
Yeah.
It can't be a game where you go punt.
I had heard rumors of this like a couple of days ago, but yeah, it's good to see.
Yeah,
it's a done deal.
All right, Kyle, back Kings to where on national going. TV.
Yep.
All right, let's get to Kings keys to victory for tonight against the Magic. The Kings 0-4 in back to backs last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Orlando 2-4. This is already Orlando's seventh back to back. Orlando 2-4 in back to backs this year. They actually had a win over Chicago and then another one against Denver. They lost to Golden State last night, 121-115. Markelle Fultz, Joe Ingles, and Jonathan Isaac all missed last night's game. What is your first key to victory for the Sacramento Kings tonight, James?
I believe it's be a goldfish.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that means, goldfish like have no short-term memory.
Yes.
I guess in theory, but I don't think it can be tested because I don't think we actually know what a goldfish is thinking.
Shout out to whoever devoted their life to that.
Yeah. But
like, that is years of like schooling and studying.
It is.
To go, how does a goldfish brain
Oh, I don't think
work?
He remembers what just happened.
It's a short-term memory on a goldfish.
Yeah. So it's a line from Ted Lasso, right?
Yes.
You got to be a goldfish. And I think an NBA player has to be a goldfish like for 48 minutes in a game.
Yep.
You got to forget what just happened. If someone dunks on you, you got to move forward. You have to find motivation however you have to find it. But the Kings need to forget about what happened last night because they have a very good team coming into Sacramento tonight.
Really, really good team. The Magic can play for sure. My first key to victory is take care of the ball.
Oh.
Don't turn it over 21 times, maybe. I don't know. The Kings have been, and again, the Kings have been very, very good all year at taking care of the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked so many times about their lack of turnover problems. It's been, hey, they gave up 30 fast break points and only had 7 turnovers. The fast break points are a problem, but the turnover's good. They had a bad night last night. That can't start to become a problem. Because if now all of a sudden you're also dealing with turnover problems, that opens a whole new can of worms that we have not had to open yet. So take care of the basketball.
Okay.
Number two.
Understand the moment. The Kings right now, they sit at 19-13. They blew the 20th win last night. They had their 20th win in the sights, but they're also 11-6 at home. You should be 12-5 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a winnable game. You need to understand that this is a moment where you need to distance yourself from the teams that are all bunched up right below you in the standings. The Kings are one game up on Dallas, one and a half game up on Phoenix, two and a half games up on Houston. They're tied with New Orleans, but they're also just a game behind the Clippers. Like, understand where you are and understand, like, what that each of these games means something. And when we get to the end of the year, you don't want to miss the playoffs, or you don't want to have to play in the play-in tournament, mm-hmm. or you don't want to have to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs because you screwed up in a game against Portland and you screwed up in a game against a team like Charlotte, who had lost 11 in a row, was playing on the second night of a back-to-back, and was missing 4 starters. You have to understand the moment. Every single night you step on the court.
Yep.
And so I hope they do.
Yeah, you'd sure hope so. This would winning tonight would definitely take some of the sting out of losing last night to Charlotte. Number two for me is let the Magic shoot it. Let them shoot it as much as they want. Unless it's Joe Ingles, unless he's playing, the Magic as a team are shooting 33.4% from three this year.
Yeesh.
They also take among the fewest in the league. But I am fully of the mind that if you're the Kings tonight, you let them make it rain. And if they start making them, then you tip your hat and say, good on you. But do not let them get inside. They are a very long, very athletic team.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to do everything you can to try and keep them out of the paint, keep them out of that mid-range, force them to shoot threes.
At least
leave them open for three. Don't.
Okay, so they have a couple of strange numbers. Did you look at their numbers?
No, I made up the 33.4%. What are they actually shooting?
No, I think you're right. I haven't looked. Franz Wagner, 33.4, is shooting 28.4 from three.
Yeah, dude, but Franz can hoop.
He hasn't hit a three yet. And he's taken some. He's 0 for 3 on the season.
Hmm.
Like, your starting point guard, at least I think he's their starter, or a guy who, plays, he would be a starter if he was healthy, which mm-hmm. has always been the problem. But this team, they don't shoot it well, and it's mostly everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let somebody go crazy. Like, if Leaky Black, decides to go off on you, That's such a UNC Kings legend. Thing to happen. Such a Kings thing to happen.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I got nothing for you. Yeah, they don't shoot it well.
Pack the paint and make them beat you from the outside. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Yep. Number three.
Be a serious team.
Oh.
I think what we saw last night was like what we've talked about with other teams. That team wasn't serious. If you start turning the ball over crazy, right? Take a moment. Have a serious thought about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Stop turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
Be more conservative. Be more attentive. Hold on to the ball. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Domantas Sabonis. They had 9 other turnovers besides him. Be serious. But take this fact that you're on the second night of a back-to-back and you can't win on the second, take it serious. Go out there, put on a show for your fans, play to your potential, and go get a W against a solid NBA team.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
That's what it comes down to. Key number three for me, you got to run tonight. I want to see a frenetic pace. Mm. And maybe this means that, okay, they have a couple more turnovers than we'd normally see, But Orlando is third in the NBA in defensive rating at 111.2. They are long and athletic, like I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. That is a team like the Pelicans that has given the Kings problem. The Rockets have given the Kings problems. We saw, frankly, I think Charlotte last night, they have a ton of length and athleticism. I think that bothered the Kings a little bit. That's what the Magic are built on right now. That's why they're good, is because of how good their defense is. So if you're taking the ball out of the basket and then you're going down and you're getting into your sets, they're going to be able to defend you. They're going to force you into tough shots. But if you can get out on the break, if you can get out on the run and you can force them to scramble around a little bit, I think it makes I think it nullifies some of what makes them a very good team.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's this is still a very young team. They're still growing, and mm-hmm. and you have an opportunity here. Like, you got to get right on your home floor. Yeah. And you have to snap that thing about the second night of a back-to-back. If you can move past that, that would be big.
Yeah, I totally agree. Damian Barling of D'Lo and KC fame joining us now. D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon. I love your hoodie today.
It's a fantastic hoodie.
It's a very, very strong hoodie.
It's my second favorite show.
Shop DLoandKC.com.
There it is. Yes. It's not your third favorite show? Don't you have two shows?
Well, I was going to say it's my second favorite show to D'Lo and KC on 102.5 KSFM. Then it's The Insiders. Then it's D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
That's my rankings, too. No. hey, man, good to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
Thanks for stopping in.
You guys got the ominous black background. I like it on the stream.
Do we?
Oh, I don't know.
Mine's purple.
Is yours purple? This one's black. Oh, that's weird.
Weird.
Oh. Ours is purple and fades to black at the bottom. It's
this is so weird. It's all oh yeah, there's something going on over here on Kenny's computer. This is wild times over here.
YouTube.com/ESPN1320 if you want to check out the background.
Yeah. We can do this.
You can do that. That's a good look. I don't know why you guys don't use this view more. Look how great you guys look here.
I don't know.
Oh, it looks good.
Then I gotta put on makeup, and that's
you guys
a whole
get
thing.
You get a little antsy when the computer gets that close, and the screen gets.
Like,
you guys look
I don't
great.
Like it one bit.
But see, if I take my look at.
Yeah.
You guys look fantastic.
All right, maybe we'll give it a shot tomorrow. Maybe
it's a very visual driven conversation we're having here. So apologies to
stream. It's good
for all
radio.
Those people in the stream.
Everybody listening. Damian. Kings lose last night, 111-104, mm-hmm. to a bad Charlotte team.
Yep.
Your thoughts?
Got quite a few, to be honest with you.
Let me start here for you. Worst loss of the year?
Yeah, they did a nice job of upending the Portland one from a week ago.
Wild.
And I think that's where a lot of the angst and frustration with Kings fans is coming from, and understandably so, is... This team, you know, they've had those double-digit losses, which have been really concerning. But you had them to the Pelicans, who are, you know, they're a play-in, playoff team. The Houston Rockets, you know, we'll see where they're going. But they had a really good stretch of basketball. They got their ass kicked by the Boston Celtics, which, welcome to the club. But
right.
The Portland one was the first one where it was really like, seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. You got it out of your system. That's fine. Let's fix this.
Mm-hmm.
You come out, you have that game you had against Memphis, which pretty much everyone was calling the most complete game of the entire season. I think
excellent.
The Kings were calling it the most complete game of the entire season.
They said it last night after the game. De'Aaron Fox did.
And then they roll out the Charlotte game. And as that game was playing out, it's like, okay, everyone stinks. And I, you know, we'll talk about it. I had no problem saying it to you. I think the biggest culprit last night, I'm not absolving anyone from the way that they played last night. Last time was the first time I was like, man, Mike needs to chill. I didn't think the little bit with Malik worked. Like, there's certain guys I don't think you do that to. You're not going to do it to De'Aaron. You're not going to do it to Domas. And in my opinion, you don't do it to Malik Monk. And I caught the when they showed a replay on TV when Malik hit the shot, I didn't see it live. I saw it on the replay. He hits the shot, and I saw him turn around. And I was like, did he just look at Mike? I feel like he just turned around and stared down Mike. And then Sean, your partner over at the Kings beat, Fox 40, posted his video. And it was like, and of course, you know, Sean Cunningham is a radar with this stuff. Mm-hmm. He sees something, and he doesn't leave it. And he follows Malik the whole way, and he catches that interaction on the bench. It's like, yo, what is going on here? And you saw the two interact a few times, and I know you know, Mike played it up. That's what we do. Like, hey, stop it. Like, you got to stop this. Look, he's not Terrence Davis.
Right.
He's not Davion Mitchell or Keon Ellis. Yo, that's Malik Monk. That's arguably, I know we all have these hopes for Keegan Murray. That's arguably your third most important player right now.
Sure.
Don't do that. Whatever is going on, hey, whether if it's missing a play, if it's a defensive assignment, whatever, time out. Come here. We need to fix this right now. You don't bench the guy.
To me, he's their most important player.
I disagree. I mean, not that he's not their most important player. I thought that the way that Malik came in the game was unserious. And I thought Mike saw it right away and was pissed.
And I'm fine with that.
And then they come out of it. They go in the locker room at halftime. They come out after halftime. And like it looked like to me, he did basically the old Derek Martin play where he showed up Rick Adelman. And that's just not who, like, Malik can be a lot of things for this team. What he can't be is that. Like, show up, bring the energy, change the game, and play on.
But it shouldn't have gotten to that point is my point.
Yeah.
I'm fine with everything that you just said. Malik entered the game unserious. It was just talking about underhand passes, all these things. I'm completely okay with that. Timeout. Everyone get in here.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. Mm-hmm. We're at home. I think you were the first one who tweeted it. It came across on television. There was no energy in the building.
None.
And part of that was because of the way the Sacramento Kings approached the game. Like, you could feel it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It picked up a little bit when De'Aaron, you know, became De'Aaron in the fourth quarter, as he so often does. And with that, there's starting to be like a side effect to that. De'Aaron starts to do what he does, and the Kings just go, all right, cool.
We got this.
Fox,
got
it. No, yeah. More specifically, Fox got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when that game got within 1 point and the Hornets had the ball, Kings are losing this game. They do not have it.
So yeah. Here's what I would say too, though. But the energy in the building was horrible, and I blame the Kings 100%, the team itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We get to the third quarter. Malik hits those two threes. The energy in the whole entire building changes. It's nuts. Everyone is going crazy. They think the game is won. Malik showed up. He brought the energy. Malik needs to understand that that's who he is, not just to his team, but to the building.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't do that, and when he shows up and it's the underhand passes, and then it's a problem. And like, I don't have a problem with Malik at all. Like, there are going to be nights where you have this. Like, if you've coached,
and that's where Mike's got to correct it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like, it happens. Right, those nights happen.
Yeah.
They'll happen with Malik. They happen with Terrence. They happen with Keegan. They happen with everybody except Harrison Barnes. You have to address it if you're Mike Brown immediately.
Yeah.
With a guy like Malik Monk, you do not bench him. That's not a guy that you bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of the result of last night's game, I think, was the decision to not play Malik Monk in the first half because you were pissed off at him.
Yeah.
That's possible. I'd also say the other thing, that if you're going to have that same conversation with Malik, at some point you needed to call a timeout and just pull Don Moss aside and say,
completely
man,
agree.
Look, I love you're doing everything. You're averaging, you got 23 points, you got 18 rebounds. You cannot turn the ball over again. And that should have happened at turnover 5.
Mm-hmm.
Dude finished with 11 turnovers, and I know that it's not intentional, and sometimes you just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't have it, though, like, you have to do what's right. Like, that, to me, it was like, holy cow. Take a moment and recenter somebody. And we talked about this earlier. Every single time the Sacramento Kings start missing their free throws, you know that they're not focused, and there's a good chance they're going to lose.
It's crazy.
10 of 17 from the free throw line.
You've pointed that out before, and it's
you
spot
see
on.
It, like, yep. What is going on? And I don't know how you and it's Sabonis and it's Fox. And I don't know that it's them that are unfocused or if it's just how they're showing the unfocusedness, but it's clear.
I don't feel like those two were unfocused. De'Aaron was very passive. That's what De'Aaron was. De'Aaron was passive. What I feel like is what happens with Domas is he starts missing shots at the rim. Like, Domas needs to be a dick and start just dunking on people. Just like, dunk. Just,
Yeah.
And all of this little laying stuff. No, go up.
Go all the way.
Because you're mid. Because ball's like rolling off the rim like 10 times. And he's putting his hands on his head like, oh, no. The camera caught him cussing yesterday. He's, you know, walking down the floor. That's exactly what he said. He said, God, he said, I think he said, dagnam it.
Whoa.
Yo.
Whoa.
Go up. Dunk.
Yeah.
Be angry. No, play angrier because and it's not that he's making a bad basketball play. It's not that he's doing something wrong. It's just the touch is off. He's probably getting hit more than it's being called, and the ball's just rolling off the rim, and he's getting flustered, and he can get in position. He's similar to De'Aaron Fox by the basket. He could get the shot anytime he wants to, but it when it starts to roll off that way, he's lost. And that's what I think happened last night. That's what I think contributed to the turnovers.
I want to put a pin in that for
nice,
one of Kyle's pins for when I come back and visit you guys later.
Kyle's got pins. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
I do. I put pins and stuff all the time.
There's something that I think we can discuss.
That's 3 hours away. I'm going to forget. So I'm putting that on you to remember.
You put it, James, you put the pin in it. One thing we didn't get to, we've already blown through the out. So I'm just going to talk about it real quick. De'Aaron got asked about the Blazers loss and then the Hornets loss within a few mm-hmm. days of each other.
Yep.
And his response was not yeah, we need to figure that out.
No.
It was oh, well, those are two totally different games.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Do you not see that that's bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, it just felt like it
different.
Was,
I caught that, too.
Dismissed it because, oh, well, they're two totally different games. One game we gave up 130. This one we turned it over a bunch of times.
But I thought he did a decent job at least of explaining why they were so different. Yeah. He was we were just trash tonight.
Yeah.
On every facet that we missed every defensive assignment in Portland we possibly could.
Yeah.
Oof. Yikes. All right. That's Damian, D'Lo, and Casey coming up next. We've been The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.